Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm excited. What a great show today lined up for you. So, do you know somebody getting divorced? Are you getting divorced? Have you been divorced? Are you wondering if your spouse is thinking about getting divorced? But we've got a great guest for you for the program today. Lily Vasilev is my guest. She's a certified financial planner, certified divorce financial analyst. She also works as a registered investment advisor, and she owns Divorce and Money Matters, and she is on the line with us. Lily, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you are very welcome, and I love what you're doing. The website for Lily is divorcematters.com. And the book, The Ultimate Divorce Organizer, The Complete Guide to Achieving the Best Legal, Financial, and Personal Outcome to Divorce. Lily is just she's just got a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, and I want to tap into this. And this is something that I run into in working with clients and working with people. And she has seen this. She's got the specialized training as a certified divorce financial analyst. So she's able to give us some perspective that not many financial folks can. So I'm glad to have you on the program, Lily. Let's just dive in if we can.
Terrific.
Because there's so much for you and I to cover, and we are limited. We don't have the 6 hours that I would like to have with you to do this. So let's start with probably one that will surprise people that you and I might start with here, and that is, let's roll back the clock a little bit, or maybe start at the very beginning and say, let's speak to that person that's out there that's listening to the show. They are in a marriage, they're in a relationship, and maybe they're wondering. Maybe they've been married for a while, there seems to be a little trouble, are there signs, I guess, in your work and what you've seen and what you've worked with individual clients who have been divorced or in the process of getting divorced, are there signs that tend to repeat themselves that would be good for people to be tuned into to know if maybe their spouse is thinking about divorce?
I would say absolutely there are. And, you know, it's interesting because long-term marriages nowadays are deemed to be anything in excess of about 7 to 8 years, which it surprises many individuals. And the statistics for marriage, as you probably and most of the audience has heard, read, and listened to, are not that favorable. Maybe one in every two marriages is at some point going to face a threat of divorce or become divorced. So there are precursors and there are signs that maybe your spouse is getting a little itchy or head toward divorce and premeditating their financial steps. So here are some telltale signs.
Okay.
The first one is your spouse's financial behavior suddenly really changes in a dramatic fashion. For example, direct deposits are no longer going to a joint bank account. Credit card bills aren't coming to the house. Large cash withdrawals.
That'll do it.
Arguments about money seem to be on every tip of the tongue.
Yeah, every transaction or every...
Business is terrible. Oh my gosh, I've lost my key clients and customers, or I'm sure to be fired any minute when you've never had any issues before.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's interesting on the flip side, financial behavior, is what if you are suddenly blindsided by gifts and extravagant trips? You know, sometimes let's take care of certain major expenses when it used to be a part of the budgeting process, but now it's suddenly, let's just get things done.
Pay things off.
So either way, I think your antenna needs to be up. And then the second thing is really that you begin to hear from friends or relatives that they've asked about different family budgets, different typical spending behaviors, or has even maybe consulted with an attorney. And if you've heard that your spouse has consulted with an attorney, that is sort of the closure on the premeditation of walking down that path.
Okay. So change of behavior with finances, either argumentative or change in maybe, I'll call it the tightening of the financial belt or the money moving or going different places or not being as available, less cash on hand, so to speak. And then the opposite of let's travel, here's gifts, which might be a cover for what's really going on.
Yep.
And then the signs of just some, you heard it through the grapevine.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if that is excellent, next segue there. If we see this, Lily, or we hear these things, what should be the next step? Should that spouse just go straight for the confrontation and call the other spouse out on it? Or should they maybe hedge their bets and go get some legal counsel? Should they start making sure they know everything is, all of the above?
Well, you know, that's a million-dollar question.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be really dependent on each person's situation and how much of communication existed before this sort of precursor period happened of contemplated action, or if they're able to really take advantage of the situation and call out their spouse on it and say, hey, you know, things are dramatically different. What's going on? I'm feeling a little insecure.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't used to do things this way.
Right.
Is there a reason for it? And let's talk about it as rational people. Don't know how the marriage is. So my thought is always to de-escalate. I think any time situation is escalated just by a fear factor or paralysis factor of running to an attorney to do this, really just heightens anxiety and it creates an unnecessary hurdle of trying to figure out what could have possibly been discussed or resolved in a more amicable way to now where you have a buffer zone. So my hope is that if you see certain actions that are different or certain behaviors that are happening in this marriage that, you know, just really seem odd and your antenna is up, is that, one, if it's possible to have communication with your spouse about it or to really sit down and discuss it or to ask just a very simple question and get some sort of a reasonable reply. That's the first approach. The second approach is not to run to an attorney, but start in making your own set of documentation.
Excellent.
Going through making copies of any kinds of financial records or statements you can find. Don't put yourself on the line, but just make copies of what exists. The second one is to really get a credit report on yourself and, if possible, on your spouse.
Good.
And then the next one would be really to make sure that you have enough money sitting aside in an account that you can access in case things take a dramatic turn so that you have enough money to live on for, let's just say, 3 months, or even enough money to hire or consult with a legal professional. And then the most important part of this, of course, is if you really think that something is different and you're getting erratic answers or unsatisfactory answers, is perhaps not to run first to a legal professional, but to actually run to a divorce financial planner who can give you the lay of the land and explain to you the different legal avenues or processes that are open to you, depending on what your situation is.
Well, that's excellent, Lily. And I like the documentation. The two key things there that I really like about your approach is documentation, because you're going to need that. Well, let me back up. You should know this anyway. You shouldn't be in the dark, regardless of how wonderful your marriage is or if you have questions, because I think that knowledge comes with understanding and there's more of a clarity in how things work about the relationship. But also, if things don't go well, you're prepared, you at least know what's going on. And then I love the idea of having this little, if you do have some concerns, that maybe you kind of put some money aside, that you have some flexibility or some options. And then the other part of that, that's really interesting. They seek out somebody with a specialized knowledge like you with the divorce training and the education, the specialized area there, to get some insights without maybe going straight to the attorney, because the attorney's role is very different than the person specializing in financial planning elements of the divorce.
Well, it also is a different environment. I mean, most people don't necessarily cross paths with a divorce attorney in their normal course of business.
Good point.
And again, that's one of the precursors of somebody premeditating divorce, is if you hear of your spouse actually talking to an attorney. It just creates, I think, this tension that is like a first impression. And often, if you're really going to plan for a divorce properly and you really want to get through it with the best interests in mind and maybe from a holistic point of view that you both are going to thrive and survive a divorce, having that tension at the outset really sets the tone.
Mm.
And it is a very difficult one to undo later on. And I just want to clarify one comment. Setting aside money, that doesn't mean that you're hiding them, and it doesn't mean you don't tell anybody about it, because it should be forthcoming if and when you do set the trigger for divorce.
Right,
it's
right, right.
It's to give you peace of mind
right.
that you have access to something so that you're not left high and dry
yeah.
and the other spouse disappears.
That's an excellent clarification, Lily. And I also was not trying to characterize it as sneaking and hiding money.
Yeah.
And it's just to have money that you can get to. It's just to You know, you just don't want to be trapped. You need to be able to maneuver if you have to. If you're just joining us, Lily Vasilev is our guest. She's a certified financial planner, certified divorce financial analyst, and she's the owner of Divorce and Money Matters, the website divorcematters.com, and the book, The Ultimate Divorce Organizer, the complete guide to achieving the best legal, financial, and personal outcome to divorce. Quick break, right back with Lily.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his clients' shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Lily Vasilev is our guest, certified financial planner, certified divorce financial analyst, registered investment advisor, owner of Divorce and Money Matters, divorcematters.com, and the book. I think that's great that you did this, Lily. The Ultimate Divorce Organizer, the complete guide to achieving the best legal, financial, and personal outcome to divorce. So, and the other thing I want to point out about Lily, she has been a leader in the divorce financial planning community. She is president emeritus, the Association of Divorce Financial Planners, and the longest serving tenure of any president of the association. So we're very glad to have her on the program.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Lily. I really appreciate your sharing with us. And I want to come back to, so we've got some of the basics out of the way now. What are some of the common, and I know you talk about this in your book, some of the common financial mistakes that people make in divorce? I think I've heard you allude to one, which is the escalation, where the emotions get in the way, and you really have to be very, not only logical and strategic and thoughtful and all these things, but that's where having the legal and the financial team in place is so important.
I think, thank you for mentioning that. People often go into this process with an enormous amount of emotion. And as hard as it is, divorce is really about children and money. So lawyers, you are paying a lawyer fee to have them hear your emotions. And it's a very expensive process if that is what is happening. So I think individuals can really seek out team members to support them. It's a much better approach getting through this period of transition in their lives. So whether you have a coach or a therapist, absolutely a divorce financial planner, and absolutely a legal professional, you have a team, you're entitled to a team, and this is when you need it the most. The decisions you make during this discrete period of your life are often for the long term, and many of them are one-time decisions that cannot be undone. So it's really a great approach to have a team around you so that you can be fully educated to make the best decisions you need to make.
Well, and I like your approach on that, Lily. That actually can even start before you hire the attorney. You know, and you can have people that doesn't have to be broadcast to the quote-unquote other side in this, what could be a war. You can have your own confidants and people you talk to, and you don't, as you said, this is what could be one of the biggest financial transactions, because that's what it ends up being in people's lives, and these decisions are going to be felt for potentially for the rest of your life.
That's right. So let's kind of focus then on some of these decisions that people often make mistakes over.
Okay, good. Excellent.
So the first one is, really, it's a great idea if you budget for divorce. Most people budget for a wedding or a graduation or a sweet 16 party. Nobody comes into this process with an idea or really the preparation of saying, I think I'm going to budget for this. I'm going to think that it's going to cost X amount, and I'm going to control the process to make sure that I stay within certain guidelines and parameters. Having said that, it's wise to decide what assets or resources you are going to tap into to pay for this divorce. So often you're kind of hit blindsided about a divorce process. But the next step you need to do is just take a step back and say, wow, what are my choices for the cost of this, and how am I going to fund it? The second part is, really, there's often an inclination, more often than the part of women, to trade off their financial settlement in exchange for securing child custody or greater visitation time.
Right.
And children's issues are always addressed up front in the divorce. The legal system prioritizes the children's best interests. So that part of the divorce is and can be an exhausting piece. And more often than not, if you are fearful about custody and visitation and the rights of your children and their well-being, you're exhausted by the time you get to the financial part. And that's where you need the most energy. So I try to preserve my clients' focus for the financial piece to say, you know what, this is just the first step. You've got to really go for the longer haul. The second common mistake is that most clients who are not familiar with the legal process actually believe that the lawyer knows best.
Good.
And they let the attorney dictate what their goals are and what's best for them. And that's, I mean, it's just inappropriate in almost every situation. But because you're so intimidated by the legal process itself, that they actually attribute their decisions or their own, you know, future to what the attorney thinks is reasonable and fair within the context of the law. That's a big mistake. You need to really be held accountable and responsible for your own goals and your own financial decisions. And that's why you sometimes need a professional there to help you.
Well, that's very good, Lily. And I think you're really nudging up next to a point that I would love to make, and that is that the attorney works for you.
That is so true.
I mean, let's not forget that. You hire them, you can fire them, and I'm nothing against attorneys or divorce attorneys, and I know them and respect them, but, or and, is more polite way of saying, and they work for you.
That is so true.
I saw this one time firsthand, unrelated to a divorce. It was in a litigation, and I was working as an expert witness, and this is years ago, but I saw a situation where, and I'm not an attorney and I'm not a legal expert, but the path was obvious to getting the matter resolved much, much quicker. And the attorney did not take that path. And so you have to also remember that, you know, if it's over and done in one day, that attorney is not going to be paid as much as if it goes on for months.
Well,
let's just be candid, right?
It's always dangerous to get a little close to this because it might sound like attorney bashing, which it's not.
Let's just be reality, though.
Deeper too, which says, you know, there's no one that should be really analyzing what's in your best interest except you. And
right.
You should be able to have a voice to that and have the respect of whoever you work with to make sure that you're at least heard. Now, if there's counsel that says you're being unreasonable or you can't have 100% of his assets and 100% of, you know, her income, that's okay. You need to abide by that. But there are times where, you know, assumptions are made on your behalf and they're not even discussed or evaluated. That is the danger of that comment of, you know, just believing in the lawyer knows best myth.
Yeah, and I just want people to be aware that the attorney has a responsibility to their client and that, but you need to be self-determining and you need to realize that time is money and you need to remember that it is ultimately your call, your choices, and because if, you know, where we're driving at, of course, is some sort of settlement that keeps us from going to court to be decided in the court.
Right. And I can honestly tell you that most courts and most attorneys are fearful of the post-divorce conflict. And so they really try to do as best they can to avoid any kind of appeals or basis for appeals and to get it done cleanly within the letter of the law, not within the letter of your life or the letter of your financial life. But, you know, to make it reasonable, which actually brings me to the point of once you do have a settlement, and this is the other common mistake, you know, let's just pretend you're in the courthouse. The attorney says, hey, welcome, you know, congratulations, you're not divorced. They shake your hand, they walk away. You're left with a piece of paper. Guess what? It's up to you to make that piece of paper happen.
Yep, that's
so
right.
So you have to handle all of the post-divorce financial issues. You have to be sure that the pension benefits are transferred, the accounts are open, things are transferred properly and accurately. You have to secure your own health insurance, you have to pay off the debt, whatever it is. And, more importantly, if something doesn't get executed the way the divorce agreement states, you have to know what your fallback position is. Is it enforceable? Did you have contingencies built into the agreement that protects you and your rights? You have to run back to court again and hire more attorneys and more money. So it's really important to make sure that the agreement itself ensures the financial outcome you desire. It has the right provisions and protections. You know what to do once you are divorced. And you have to understand, here's the biggest mistake that most people do, the tax consequences of any kind of assets that you receive after the divorce if you sell or exchange them.
right, Lily, let's hold right there. Let's grab a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the tax aspects of the division of these assets. Lily Vassiliff is our guest, certified financial planner. DivorceMatters.com is the website and the book, The Ultimate Divorce Organizer, the complete guide to achieving the best legal, financial, and personal outcome to divorce. Quick break, right back.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your portfolio prepared for such a correction? How about inflation? What's your plan for when a gallon of gas or gallon of milk costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has answers to questions just like these and practical steps you can take to help mitigate these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So we have Lily Vassiliff on the line with us. And by the way, Lily received the National 2013 Pioneering Award for her public advocacy and leadership in the field of divorce financial planning. So she's a big deal, and it's a big deal to have her, and I'm glad we're talking with her. Lily, I want to get right back to your tax comment and financial division of assets. All assets aren't created equal, and especially if somebody wants the home and somebody else got cash, or you've got 401k, 403bs, IRAs, annuities, all these things have different tax considerations, which really need to be incorporated into that divorce settlement or how the assets are split up, right?
Absolutely. A dollar in cash is not going to be the same as a dollar in stock. And so if you are assuming on the paper value that everything is the same, you could be in for a very big surprise for when you're divorced and you have to go sell that stock that you get, you know, 20% off the top for capital gains on it.
Right, right.
So the idea is really to take a look at the basis of all assets. Now, let me back up a little bit and just say that when property is transferred pursuant to a divorce between the spouses, that is a non-taxable event.
Right.
So no matter what happens, you won't incur taxes
right.
on that action. However, once you're sitting with the pot of assets that you receive, if you need to do something next with it, i.e. raise cash from it or change your type of investment or sell a house, you should have been apprised and actually made knowledgeable of what the longer-term tax implication is of holding that kind of an asset.
And factored into the settlement and how things are divvied up.
Factored into the settlement. Many times when people are transferring back investment accounts, they'll actually try to equalize the cost basis between assets
okay.
if possible, so that one party doesn't pay a lot of taxes on liquidating cash and the other one walks away with cash. I mean, you don't want to really do that. The other thing, too, on just sort of closing out a little bit on taxes, because it's a big topic in divorce, is I'm sure that most people know this, but I just want to kind of run it by people. Child support is non-taxable to the recipient and non-tax deductible for the payor.
Right.
Maintenance or alimony is taxable to the recipient and tax deductible by the payor. There is such a thing as when you lump them together and call it unallocated, which will make it taxable in its entirety and should be grossed up for the tax impact if you're receiving unallocated. There's another issue about taxes that normally arises in most divorce agreements whereby both parties are indemnified against any kind of penalties or attorney fees or claims by the IRS for prior tax returns filed as married jointly. And if that's not in your agreement, you better take a hard look at it. It can really rear its ugly head in future years.
That's excellent, Lily. I want to make a comment. I want you to tell me what you think about it. We start talking about divvying up these assets. If I were taking the role that you would take as a certified divorce financial analyst, the first thing that I would want to do for my client is I would want to help them be strategic about divorce. And I guess my question to you is it's okay to be self, you know, this is not just simply saying, hey, let's look at what's quote unquote fair and split these assets up. There's nothing wrong with being strategic about the assets that you want. Hey, I want the house and I want all the cash and maybe I'll take that IRA, but I don't want all that 401k. I don't want all that stock or I don't want, there's nothing wrong with kind of having a strategy for the assets that you want to take out of the marriage.
Absolutely true. I mean, really what we're looking at, as you would in any circumstance, except that this one is more or less an accelerated process, which is what's in the best interest of the client, and is it negotiable, and is the other party willing to agree, and if not, what's the offset to give them greater incentive to agree? So all kinds of choices happen during the divorce process, and whereas, you know, often if, you know, one spouse is employed, they're going to be probably a little bit more inclined to retaining their benefits with their employer than their spouse is, because they don't really know the company that well, or they just want a clean break. And that happens often with deferred comp, where there's stock that vests over time. And, you know, that keeps a tether to the ex-spouse, because they have to come out, you know, 1 out of 3 years, they have to contact their ex-spouse and say, gee, I'd like to, you know, sell the stock or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's a connectedness that has to be evaluated. There's possibly a cost of keeping the asset, whether it requires, you know, additional capital put in or whatever it be. So all of that comes into play, and it's a fast learning experience where you really need somebody to help guide you through it.
I couldn't agree more, Lily. I think that that's excellent advice. And, you know, we need to frame this up, and people need to think about these things. And I want to encourage them to go to your website, divorcematters.com, and also get a copy of the book, The Ultimate Divorce Organizer, The Complete Guide to Achieving the Best Legal, Financial, and Personal Outcome for divorce or to divorce. And I know, Lily, we didn't get a chance to talk about alimony. We'll have to have you back and cover that another day, because that's a whole other animal, and it is in a, I know that different states are looking at that legislatively, so it'll be something that we should probably set up and devote another show to. But I really appreciate your spending time with me. And Lily Vassiliff, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, certified financial planner, certified divorce financial analyst, and registered investment advisor. And she's the owner of Divorce and Money Matters. Lily, thank you so much for being with me.
And thank you so much, David. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.